Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning, good day, and we're coming to you. It is PGA Championship Saturday. It's moving day. Will Jordan Spieth be able to move up? That would take a lot of mistakes by a number of excellent players. Kevin Kisner and Hideki Matsuyama playing amazing golf. PGA Championship, Quail Hollow. Karen Krause is there, golf writer, New York Times. And her first book, published earlier, is available to pre-order. This is actually not out yet. It ships in January of 2018. And I'm really looking forward to talking to her about a small Vermont town secret to raising Olympians. About 3,000 people live in this little town, and they have sent an athlete for the last 30 years, almost every winter, to the Olympics. We'll also be talking with none other than Alex Maselli, Rodney Ito, the general manager of Mauna Lani Resort, Scott Christensen, interim director of golf there at the Francis E.E. Brown Golf Courses at Mauna Lani, and Claude Rousseau, master PGA, home at the Maui School of Golf now. He's Golf Channel Academy lead coach. And we're going to talk with all these people PGA Championship weekend right after this, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Club brought to you by Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Rousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Rousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
Welcome into the clubhouse. First off, I want to congratulate Mark and Debbie Rolfing. They were named the co-recipients of the PGA Distinguished Service Award. Humanitarians, Growth of the Game Advocates, to be honored at the PGA annual meeting on November 2nd. NBC Golf Channel analyst Mark Rolfing and his wife Debbie, whose shared passion for the Growth of the Game initiatives served as a platform to establish one of the country's most inspiring foster parent networks, have been named as the co-recipients of the PGA Distinguished Service Award. They'll be honored on November 2nd. It's going to be at the Austin Hilton in Austin, Texas, in conjunction with the PGA of America's 101 annual meeting. Okay, that would be the 101st. Okay, let's take off now and talk with Claude Rousseau. He is Master PGA, Golf Channel Academy lead coach, back from France, a wonderful 6 weeks in France where he also has a short game academy. But on Maui, he's at the Kahili course because that's where the Maui School of Golf is. And that would be Golf Channel Academy lead coach, Claude Rousseau. Welcome home to Maui.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you.
A wonderful summer that you had. The PGA Championship, amazing leaderboard that we have. Of course, Jordan Spieth, all the talk. If you listen to any of the Golf Channel conversations or if you were reading newspapers, was about whether or not Jordan could actually accomplish the career Grand Slam, that is, winning all of the four major championships. He would be the youngest to do it. There was so much hype about that around Jordan, you know, I'm going to go get him and all this stuff because he did so well at the British, you know, at the Open, where he came from behind. He just, that incredible last five holes of golf that may be the best effort ever anyone's ever made at returning from such a disastrous shot that he recovered from. It took 20 minutes. Interesting how long that you have when you're coming back, you get to recover. So many people, Claude, this is completely off the cuff. So many people, when they find themselves in a position of having to find their ball or come back, they get worried about keeping everybody waiting. And this is just in a pair of, you know, foursome that's going out today on the golf course. You get worried about people waiting for you. It seemed like Jordan Spieth didn't have a care in the world other than getting his ball back in that hole. And he took 20 minutes. So what about the people who do this on a regular, you know, we go out together, the foursome goes out together. How much time should we take?
Of course, Danielle, that's a good point. When you're just out having fun with your friend and play, like I call the warrior weekend golfer, you cannot take 20 minutes to do your shot. It's quite different when you're in competition on the PGA Tour. But so during a round with friends, you have like 5 minutes if you play by the rules to find your ball and get going and play. Now, what we can learn, though, so to answer your question more precisely, during the weekend, I think just take less time than that for sure, I will say. But we can learn from what Jordan did is anytime you're in a situation, even if you play just for fun, but more so if you're in competition, when things get difficult, in challenging situation, you need to slow things down and look at your options. That's what Jordan did so well. Of course, he had his mind on the task at hand, making sure that he's making the correct decision. He's looking at all his options because every shot counts. So that's what we can learn from him. During the week. Go ahead.
You make an excellent point, because I was talking about the Open that was just played in England. Now, here we are at the PGA Championship, and a similar situation cropped up for him just yesterday when he shot his drive, went errant, went to the right, ended up in the straw, the pine needles, and it turned out that a rules official knew him and was there. But, you know, it was interesting. The rules official said Jordan Spieth hardly acknowledged him. He didn't and it's like the rules official said he probably was thinking, what is this guy doing here? Because he knew him from a different course, a different place and time, right? But Jordan was so into the business of it, finding out whether that was a movable object. All of that pine needle, would he be able to move that around? And the rules of golf says, yes, you can. That's why he was in there with his hands, moving all those pine needles out of the way. He took two drops. They both bounced off back onto the cart path. And the second, I think it was the third time when the second time when they dropped the ball, it still wouldn't take it wouldn't hold on, right? But, and the ball rolled away. But what they did is they took the ball and they placed it in the spot where the ball made an indentation in the pine needles. So all of this, the rules official was watching, and the rules of golf is something that Jordan Spieth knows better than I think anyone. He knows how to take advantage, and as you said, he knows how of the rules, and then to slow down time, to make it his own, and just be in charge of it. But back to the recreational player, I think the rules of golf have actually brought down the amount of time you should be looking for your ball from 5 minutes down to three.
So yes, that, you're right.
Right, so that people aren't standing around going, you know, today. can we move along here today? Yeah, that would be great. So very, very good. But the PGA Championship, and this is really why I wanted to have a PGA, Master PGA, Claude Brousseau in Hawaii, Golf Channel Academy lead coach, Maui School of Golf at Kahili. I wanted you on the show, Claude, because this is a special major. There are 20 positions that are held specifically for PGA members. The 20,000 members of the PGA of America are working club professionals. They're PGAs. They have studied hard. They teach their students. And this is an opportunity for them to qualify to to play in a major, it's huge. Tell us how important it is to the PGAs around America.
I mean, you're so right, Danielle. This is fantastic because there is no other sport that I know of that give the membership the opportunity to go and play in a major. Think about it. It will be like if you're a coach in baseball or basketball, and then you can qualify to play in the NBA final. That's how huge it is. Or something like, okay, any other sport, football, nobody has that chance. So what it does is the PGA of America own the rights on the PGA Championship. It's a big asset for the organization, one, because it generates a lot of revenue. Then the PGA can promote the game with a program like a PGA Junior League, Drive Chip and Putt, Get Golf Ready, just to name a few. But to come back to us, PGA, that every day we run the operation, it could be, what is fantastic, it could be somebody who is the general manager in a resort or a private course anywhere in the United States who are PGA member. It could be somebody like me that coach full time. You can step a goal, say, okay, let's get my game ready, and then I can go and have a pace of competing in a major. That's big.
It is huge.
Now, it's huge. And if you want, now, what it also highlights is how good the people who are playing for a living are and how those skills are totally different set of skills compared to either coaching or running a tournament or, you know, taking care of the members and the guests that come to play on a regular basis at the courses. Because if we look at the score, the only PGA that they call club professional that make the cut, it's Omar Retsi. And this guy is now a club professional, but he had played 11 full seasons and played 357 tournaments, had 14 top 10 finish on the PGA Tour. And it's not a coincidence that he's the only one with the new status that made the cut.
So Omar Oresti, who has earned $7.9 million on the PGA Tour in the past, is now a PGA club professional, so to speak. And he is a PGA, right? I mean, just because you're a tour member and you play professionally doesn't make you a PGA. You become a PGA, a Professional Golfers Association member, by finishing quite a rigorous school. You take tests, you have to do a lot of learning and testing before you get your PGA. And Omar is now a PGA after playing on the tour, after leaving the tour. You know, it's amazing that he could make $7.9 million and never really win. But the 14 top 10 certainly helped, the best T3 twice, right? And now he is playing in the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. It's really wonderful. What about Greg Gregory, another one that you were talking about?
Yes, I was talking about him just to illustrate again the difference in the skills. I mean, he is the best. He had not finished his round yesterday when I look at the stat, but he was at plus 10, and then the leaders are at minus 8. That's 18 shots in two rounds. Let's see if he complete his round at the same plus 10. So it's one shot a hole. It's amazing how important every shot is when you play at the highest level.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see that you can rub elbow with the best in the world. And it's a good experience also when you come back to your course. The members are happy to support PGA that wants to play. And it gave you a good experience to talk about how the best player in the world are performing, basically.
Oh, yeah. You got to play with them. You get to talk about them. You know, you've learned from them just being there and learning. And the thing about the PGA Championship, all of these majors make a huge amount of money. The U.S. Open makes a huge amount of money for the United States Golf Association. The PGA Championship is a moneymaker for the PGA of America that promotes the game, of course, the PGA Junior League, the Drive, Chip, and Putt, Get Golf Ready, all of these, and PGA Hope, all supported by the money that comes in, the revenue that's generated by the PGA Championship. And, of course, we love watching. It's always great to see these guys do what they do. I mean, watching Dustin Johnson, and I'm curious, Dustin fell downstairs at the Masters. He slipped on some wooden stairs in the house he had rented. He was wearing socks, and his feet went out from underneath him. He's a tall man. He hit his back. And you can almost see it as he's walking. If you study him very carefully, if you look at his posture and his swing, he seems to be getting better with his driver, or more comfortable, as one commentator said on television this morning. He seems to be becoming more comfortable with the driver, but I still see some hesitation. The pain that comes from an injury like that, even if it wasn't severe in the sense that there were no broken bones, nevertheless, the body protects itself. And you're going to it's going to take a while before things get back to normal. What are your thoughts when you see somebody who's in this position?
But like you point out really well, Danielle, it's when your body is injured, of course, your brain wants to protect against pain, and that's why you will see maybe either it's a Dustin or your listener that are playing, you will see they become more hesitant. They may have difficulty to, let's say, do a full turn on the backswing or even a follow through because they want to protect their back. So Dustin explained it also that he feels he's getting better, but I'm sure in the back of his mind, it's important to not get that injury worse. So he has a good team around him, and you want to make sure that the priorities stay healthy and look for the long run.
Yeah,
your swing will adapt to that, and you have to maybe accept that for some time you will not hit it as long. You need to make some adjustment, and you know, quite frankly, it's what golf is about. You need to adjust with the situation, the condition that you play with, the course that you're with. Your body is never the same. And if you're injured, you need to have a swing for your listener. Adapt your swing, see a coach that can help you to do that for at least a period where you will recuperate and get healthy again.
I like that, because the most important thing to do is to wake up in the morning when you're going to go play a round of golf. Just go hit a few practice shots on the range. See what the day has given you. What is my swing today? And then use that swing. Don't fight it. Just use what you got and have a good time. Try not to learning while you go, unless that's your intention, is not a good idea when you're going to go out and have some fun. We're talking with Claude Brousseau, Golf Channel Academy lead coach and director of coaching and player development, Maui School of Golf, Kahili. The Kahili course is beautiful. I had the pleasure of speaking with, I think, the man, architect Robin Nelson, who designed it before he passed away. Wonderful guy. Tell us a little bit, before we go, tell us a little bit about the Kahili course and finding you.
Good. So first, the Kahili course is such a fantastic golf course, because when Maui is the valley high, I can tell you on every single hole, you will appreciate the beauty of Maui. On your right side, you see the Mahala Harbor, and then you look on the left side, you see the Wailuku Port, and then in front of you, you get Aleakala. It's beautiful views. And also, the course is friendly. You'll be good at learning how to play in the wind. It's a windy situation there, but it's part of living on the island. And people like to play it because it's rewarding the good shots, and you need to be strategic. It's not a necessarily a very long course, but there is some sharp dog legs, so you will have to use your management skill. So I recommend it. Then if you want to get better in golf, that's my pleasure to help anybody that love the game and want to improve. So the best way to reach me is they can call my number. It's 808-870-1422. They can also reach me via my website. It's MauiSchoolOfGolf.com. And if they prefer email, it's my first name, Claude, with the number 4, bestgolf@gmail.com.
Excellent. Private, semi-private, small group lessons, power driving, bye-bye three putts. I like that one. Short game, scoring clubs, on course, find the player in you. And Claude Brousseau is a master PGA. You'll want to find him at the Maui School of Golf, MauiSchoolOfGolf.com, at the Kahili course on Maui. Thanks so much for being on with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Alex Maselli is at the PGA Championship. We'll be back with Alex right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7. It's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you. For your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And the, let's see, we're going to have a mostly cloudy day today. It's going to be breezy, scattered to numerous showers on the windward side, isolated showers on the leeward side. That'd be like Ko'olina. The low today would be 74. The high today, about 90. It's been really, really, really hot. Have you noticed that? How could you not? Let's bring in Alex Maselli. Alex Maselli is the founder of The Morning Read, journalist, reporter, golfer. You still have an 8 handicap. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
At times. It depends on the day, Daniel.
Depends what you wake up with in the morning, right? What swing you got.
Yes, right. That's right. I found that interesting when you said to go out to the range and try to figure out what kind of game you got today. I don't even take that time anymore.
You don't? Just go out there, hit it, and go, okay, that's what I'm doing.
That's it, exactly.
Are you still organizing the Golf Writers Association of America tournaments?
You know, I was until this year. This was my last year. I was taking, I thought it was time as I was getting older that I let some young social media people take it over. That'd be their responsibility. So I am not responsible for that as of April.
But the Golf Writers Association of America does that going into the Masters. So kind of like on the way to Augusta, there is a tournament that, of course, I don't play in because, gee, I don't have the game to play up against somebody with an eight. I'd have to drop and putt. Speaking of interesting shots, let's go to the PGA Championship, where Alex Maselli, founder of The Morning Read, is at. It's a golf newsletter. Golf newsletter that comes into your inbox, came into my inbox, shockingly, because it's 6 o'clock in the evening in Hawaii when it's midnight on the East Coast. I went, oh, my Morning Read is here already. And it's free. So you just go to The Morning Read. Is it themorningread.com?
It's morningread.com. We got away from the.
Ah, okay. I guess I've on Twitter, I follow you on The Morning Read.
Ah.
That's
okay.
Where I get all messed up. So it's morningread.com. All you do is give them an email address, and it'll come to that email address, and you've got your Morning Read. And I love the, you know, Adam Shupak and Steve Elling and all the people that you know, Gary Van Sickle and Alex Maselli. All right. I watched.
That's only when we don't have anybody else to write.
Oh, I see. Okay. I saw Rod Pampling hit the most bizarre shot on television last night, and everybody's running and jogging to the hole. To the next, their caddies haven't even gotten there, and these boys are running to get to their position so they can take the next shot. Can you kind of explain what was going on last night?
Well, because we had a weather delay of about an hour and a half, it was clear that the entire late tee times were not going to finish. So the way the rule works is that if play is postponed due to rain or weather, you have to stop right then when they blow the horn. If play is postponed or stopped because of darkness, you have the option as a player to play or finish out the hole that you teed off on. So that means that any player that is teed off of the group on that particular hole, that means all the players can then tee off, all the players can finish the hole. So you saw situations where a player was going to the ninth tee, Danny Willett in this case, waiting to tee off, even though his two playing competitors were back on the eighth green, still reading their putts, J.B. Holmes and Will Oosthuizen, yet he couldn't tee off because the group in front of them was still in the middle of the fairway. So he eventually just took an iron out of his bag and just hit a wedge onto the out as a tee-off shot. At that point then, when Will Oosthuizen and J.B. Holmes came over, they could go ahead and tee off, even though the horn may have sounded, and go ahead and finish the hole. Rod Pampling was in the same situation. He was just trying to get done before instead of having to come back and finish on Saturday morning. And in Rod Pampling's case, just like in Danny Willett's case, neither of them were going to make the cut. So they were kind of taking one for the team in that regard.
So in other words, Rod Pampling just hit that ball, that shot that went off in the trees. It was on social media all over, like the worst shot in a major championship ever. He just whacked the ball into the bushes. It didn't, you know, obviously he wasn't trying to do anything but get going. And then everybody's jogging. I think Jason Day gave... this is the first time I've ever seen Jason Day hug Dustin Johnson. came from behind, reverse hug around, because I guess that gave Jason more time to sleep in, right? So he wouldn't have to get up in the morning to continue.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was a bizarre situation that doesn't happen very often, but did here. And what was interesting is both Jason Day and Dustin Johnson pretty much could not see their shot, their second shot into 18 yesterday. But not only did they hit the shots, but they hit them relatively close, where both of them had a pretty good chance at birdie. But the odd part was that they barely could see the green, and if not for a scoreboard that was to the side, they wouldn't have been able to see the green and wouldn't have been able to make their putts.
Can you imagine after trying so hard to get it all done that they'd have to stop and leave their, you know, come back and putt and then go and wait for their tee times? Really, quite a day yesterday. Somebody said it just shows you, you know, the pace of play is so slow that these guys can now run. And the pace of play is getting to me a little bit, Alex Maselli. What are your thoughts? Are they getting slower? Is anybody going to speed them up?
Well, I think if you look at this golf course before the rains, the speed of the greens were such that it was inherently going to be slow rounds. I mean, it just takes, there's some numbers out there that if you do X amount on the stem meter, this how much slower a course will be versus if it's another number on the stem meter. So every foot that you add to the speed of the greens increases the time of the round like by 20 minutes or something like that. It's pretty bizarre. So, you know, you can blame the players, but you have, there is some culpability by the people due to the setup and the organizations that run these events. So I think that's part of it. So, you also have to understand that you're playing for a lot of money, Danielle. I mean, it's you know, it's considerable when you're looking at maybe winning almost $2 million here this week. And then you can, you know, talk about all the benefits of winning a major championship. So, I mean, I think that, you know, there is that other balance that you have to take a look at.
Okay, so yesterday after before the rain delay, they were worrying about, let's say, hitting driver and not knowing how the bounce and the roll would be because it was so fast. The turf was moving that ball along, just bumping and rolling it like at an open. And then when it rained, it became receptive and the ball would just stop. So they could play target golf at that point, and it was easier to play and you could play faster.
And you noticed the scoring was much better, too.
Yeah. Somebody said, hey, this is the most exciting golf we've had. So on the one hand, you make it hard so that the scores are high. Nobody gets to shoot lights out by getting it slick and fast, but then it's going to be slow play. Or you make it so that everybody's hitting, you know, bam, 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 thank you, and then we're off to the next hole. And it's not really challenging golf, but they're going to be playing faster. Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that aspect to it. Bad on me. But what about people who are playing this game? And it just seems to me, maybe it's my imagination, that some players who are slower or enjoy a slower pace use that kind of psychologically against some competitor in their group who may be a quicker paced player by nature. Do you think that happens?
Well, I think it happens all the time. I think in some cases, the person that's slow doesn't even know they're slow. And that's one of the things that I think we could spend some time on. I think, you know, if you just think and just take as an example, if you take 15 seconds more over a shot and you hit and you play, let's say you're a 10 handicap or whatever, and you're talking about something like, you know, you're going to shoot 82 or 84. And you just think about 15 seconds, just 15 seconds over a shot. Just take 15 seconds times 80 and just think how much more time you're putting into your round versus if you would just find a way to stay with 15 seconds. And that's, we're not talking about a lot of time there. So that's a minute a hole or a little over a minute a hole, 18 holes. It's over 20 minutes that you add to your round by just being 15 minutes over every shot. If you could find a way to take less time, just think of all the time you'd say.
But what you say is perfect. I mean, a lot of people who are slow players don't even realize. So how do you point that out to them? Hey, you know, you're taking a long time.
Well, I think, you know, it's not as much a long time as much as if you just have to have a routine that's a little more, a swifter routine than you normally would. I mean, as an example, people that play in carts, do you need to put your club back in the bag when you go to the cart to drive off to the next hole, or do you just hold on to the club and you drive to the next hole? And then when you get there, you put the old club in and pull the new club out. I mean, right there, you've just saved 15 seconds.
That's very good. We do tend to, a lot of people go back to the bag. I think part of it is putting your mind back together again. it's like a routine. It's a psychological thing. I'm going back to the home base. I'm putting the club in the bag, and I'm going to pull this one out. I'm putting my mind back together, and I'm getting ready for the next shot. But pace of play is really difficult during recreational rounds of golf. And the marshals are pretty good here in Hawaii, moving us along for the most part so people don't end up standing around. Because that's the worst part of the day. You know, you're waiting for your tee time. Must be hard as a professional golfer in something like a PGA championship to deal with that. Jordan Spieth, the big talk of the town for 2 weeks since the Open was, would he be the youngest to complete the career Grand Slam? What's up with Jordan?
Well, I think this golf course was never really a good golf course for him. I also think that he's just not necessarily on top of his game. And you have to, if you reflect back at the Open Championship at Birkdale, it wasn't like he was hitting the ball great there either. Not like he was when he won maybe the U.S. Open or when he won the Masters. I think that you know, even when he won this year, earlier in the year at Travelers, I mean, he's in that playoff and he hits an atrocious drive into the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And has to hit a lot to get into that bunker at 18. So, I mean, it's not like he's been lighting the place up. So, as much as we wanted to talk about Jordan becoming the youngest to win the career Grand Slam or winning the career Grand Slam at all, actually, the question is, you had to really kind of take a look at his game and see how he was doing. And I think what you saw this week so far is pretty much on par with where he is. He has some work to do. He's got just not exactly firing all cylinders. Just happened to have won three times, not firing all cylinders. And, you know, we've seen a couple guys that can do that over time, you know, Tiger being one of them. There's very few guys that are not playing their best and can somehow win.
I know. And I brought up what's up with Jordan Spieth because he hasn't had his game. He hasn't had his driver. But when push comes to shove, he manages to pull off. It's like all of a sudden he laser focuses and gets all of his wits about him and he becomes determined to accomplish what seems to be just about impossible and what most people would say, I'm not going to accomplish this. You know, it's just interesting the dynamics of the mental game and the physical game. And both of them have to be so sharp all the time for you to be at your peak. It's asking an awful lot of your being to have that kind of composure over years. But with Jordan, it's, and he has a team, this team. And I need to ask you this because, you know, you've followed golf. You've been in golf for so long. It's such an amazing observer on Golf Channel, publisher of Golf Week, writer for so long, creator of golf.com. Did the caddies of yore have the same kind of relationship and give the same amount of advice of the caddies today?
I think it always depended on the player and the caddy relationship. I don't think Jack Nicklaus took too much feedback from Angelo. So in that particular case, no. I don't know if Herman gave a lot of advice to Lee Trevino. So I think that Tom Watson took a decent amount of advice from his caddy at the time. I think that today Jordan Spieth would not be where he is today without the advice and the help of Michael Breller. So I think it just depends on the player. You know, Phil Mickelson and Bones were a terrific a duo for a long, long time. And even Tiger. I mean, when you look at Tiger's relationship with Stevie, I mean, Stevie had a lot to do with why Tiger ended up doing what he did. You know, we could talk about how Tiger was the Tiger's Tiger, but without Stevie, I'm not sure he wins all the times he won. So
wow.
It just depends on the relationship between the two and what they're looking for. And I think in some of those relationships, you're looking for that person to be there and to rely on and to shoulder at times. And in other cases, people don't think that, you know, Jack never thought a caddy was really worth much except to carry the bag.
It's what is that? Three phrases: shut up, pick up, keep up, or something.
Yeah, catch up. Yeah, stay up. Yeah,
yeah, that one. Okay, well, let's go to the man that you just talked about, Phil Mickelson. He doesn't have bones and didn't make the cut, and this is the first time in a long time that Phil hasn't been in a PGA Championship. Is it age? Age? Or is it the no more caddy, no more bones, or is it just wasn't his week?
No, I think it wasn't his week. You could toss out. I think at this point, I think it's a combination of many things, but age is one of them. Desire to work as hard as he needs to work to actually win out here. I think the window, there may be a slight opening in the window if Phil Mickelson is at the Masters. But outside of that, I think Phil Mickelson's opportunity to win a major championship is gone in his career. He's won enough. I don't know if he'll win a PGA Tour title again or an event again. But I think he's pretty much, I think the window is closed and his ability to win a major championship.
Interesting. Because, yeah, all of us have to get used to that, who've been in the game for a long time, watching the game, knowing that the young kids are going to be taking over. And that just is the way it is, right? I mean, that we get older and we can't play anymore, like in all other sports, except that we hang around so much longer in golf. So you had a tweet with Grayson Murray from theweb.com to Maui, and it was a great, great interview with him that you posted. Who is Grayson Murray?
Well, that's a good question. He's one of the unknowns, yet won a golf tournament, yet one of the guys that is going to be out here for a little while. Grayson Murray lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, which isn't too far from here, but yet has never played here. He's got a bit of an attitude, believes that, he was involved in this little kind of altercation on Twitter about he thought some of the foreign players should be getting exemptions. Why were they and not him? The one thing about PGA Tour golf is that there's always going to be that group of 20 or so guys that everybody knows, and the remainder 100, 150, whatever it might be, are people that nobody's going to know. Grayson Murray is the one in that category of nobody's going to know unless he does something special. You know, he doesn't roll out on the PGA Tour, become a pro like Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler or Bryson DeChambeau. He comes out on the PGA Tour and nobody knows who he is. And, you know, that might be hard for those guys to understand, that they need to play better, do better, because they're kind of like behind the eight ball to begin with. But that's just how it is. And Grayson Murray is one of those guys. And, you know, the win last week, or not last week, but the win at
Barbasol.
Yeah, at Barbasol. Thank you. You know, isn't that interesting that we have some shaving cream company now sponsoring tour events? But anyways,
yes.
The win at Barbasol gives him an opportunity now. It gives him, he'll be at Maui. He'll probably play at Sony. He'll get a two-year exemption. He'll get into events like last week at World Golf Championship events. He'll get an event that he wouldn't normally get into. So this is Grayson Murray's chance to let people know who he is and what he can do. And, you know, he played well on Thursday, and, you know, he made the cut. So, I mean, but that's what this is. There's a lot of those guys out here. There's so many more Grayson Murrays out here than there are Jason Days or Jordan Spieth.
Absolutely. And I love finding out about them. Having a chip on your shoulder and being upset that somebody's getting a sponsor exemption, I always find that weird. The sponsor's putting up the $7 million to give everybody a bunch of money and prizes. So if the sponsor wants to give somebody a sponsor exemption, that's the sponsor's right. I mean, they're paying for the privilege of having a few sponsor exemptions to throw around. And I think they should just be happy that Barbasol, or whomever it is, wants to sponsor an event and put up all that money. I know in ad nauseum we've been discussing whether Jordan Spieth would finish the career Grand Slam. And we've also been talking a lot about the PGA Championship moving to May. But it's not necessarily something that, you know, the average golfer talks about and sometimes has to find out what is going on. So how significant to the PGA of America is this move, making it the Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, then the U.S. Open and the Open? How important is that move to the PGA of America?
Well, I don't want to understate it, but I think it's extremely important for many reasons. And the biggest reason is that I think they become more relevant in the major conversation. Because right now, I can tell you that the amount of buzz that you have at the PGA Championships in August is nothing compared to when you have a U.S. Open or an Open Championship in June or July. It just isn't. Now, part of that is because what those events are, but part of it is because they have, you know, some kind of identity. And I think this gives the opportunity, the PGA of America, an opportunity to A, to move it into a good spot in May, B, to work on and focus on having a identity. Because the event doesn't really currently have an identity. Every other major has an identity. This does not. So I think those are two big pluses. Third, I think that, you know, years of Olympic years and things of that nature, they're going to get more involvement of what happens in regards to who's going to go to the Olympics. I mean, the last time around, their event had no involvement, and there was no say of what who won the PGA Championship in regards to who would go to the Olympics. Now, in May, they absolutely have that involvement, and they absolutely have some say by how well people play here in regards to what happens in the Olympics. So those are all positives. And I think lastly, you know, you talk about it now, Daniel, when you're doing your show, you're talking about where you can go play. Well, you know, when you're in May, it's a little different time here in the Northeast and different other places. You're playing golf, but not to the extent that you would be playing like you're going to be playing in June, July, and August. So that means that golfers are going to be more focused on what's going on in the PGA because in some cases they won't be going out to play golf.
That's right.
So I think those are all positives for the PGA of America. The limiting factor is that they're not going to be able to go to some of the venues that they have gone to in the past, even though I think they pretend like they are. They're really not going to. There won't be a Hazeltine PGA Championship. There won't be a Medina PGA Championship. There'll be an Oak Hill PGA Championship only because they have a contract. But going forward, I don't see that being a regular place, even though the PGA has gone there a lot. You know, that extra 2 or 3 weeks makes a big difference.
It's awesome. Alex Maselli is journalist, reporter, and golfer, founder of Morning Read. It's a golf newsletter that will come into your inbox, you know, the one inbox that you want your Morning Read to come into. And all you got to do is go to morningread.com and put in that email address, and your Morning Read will be in your inbox when you wake up in the morning. Alex, thanks for being with us this morning. It's a real pleasure talking with you.
Danny, you take care.
I love it when you do that. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your home stand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
We're all going to go now to one of my favorite places on the planet. And if you haven't been there, you need to go there. And if it means coming to Hawaii, flying over, do so and go straight over to the Big Island. There's so much to do on Hawaii Island. This particular place is the Mauna Lani and the Francis E.E. Brown golf courses, the North and the South course, the South being one of the most photographed courses ever. The hotel has a new owner, and the golf courses have a new operator chosen by the owner. The owner is Diamond Head Land, purchased Mauna Lani Resort, and of course the two exquisite golf courses at Maui Lani. The South hosted, or still is hosting, of course, the Hawaii State Open. That'll be happening in December, and it is the site of the former site, because the Senior Skins isn't played anymore. I can, you know, it's like former. The Senior Skins, when I was there, I got to see Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino, and Gary Player. Amazing, amazing experience. It was absolutely fantastic. So joining us, and I'm very pleased to have a wonderful man who's been in the hotel business, a hotelier Rodney Ito, general manager of the Mauna Lani Resort, as well as Troon, the now golf operations people over at Mauna Lani. Scott Christensen, he's the interim director of golf at the Mauna Lani Francis E.E. Brown North and South Courses. So first off, good morning, Rodney Ito.
Good morning, Danielle. Great to be on your show.
It's great to have you. And Scott Christensen.
Hey, Danielle, good morning. Great to be on. Thanks for all you do for golf here in Hawaii. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. You know, the thing about Rodney Ito that you may not know, folks, is Rodney is the general manager of Mauna Lani Bay Hotel and Bungalows on the Kohala Coast. And he is also recognized by the Historic Hawaii Foundation for his emphasis on preservation of Mauna Lani's cultural and environmental traditions, including the historic Kahului Iupu. Wait a second. I usually am able to speak a little bit of Hawaiian, but this is going to throw me. Kahului Upua'a. How do you pronounce that, Rodney?
It's Kahului Upua'a.
Kalahui Upua'a. My goodness. It's the fish ponds and the petroglyphs and the hotel's renowned cultural and historic tours. It's wonderful because, you know, when people come to Hawaii, they still have in their mind this vision of Polynesia. And it's sort of like ingrained in us. And they want to see where Hawaiian people were, what they did. Show me the petroglyphs. Show me the fish ponds. Show me how they lived. And if we don't have people like you, Mr. Ito, taking care of these things, then it all goes away. And why come? You know, why come except for the weather? So hats off to you and thank you so much. Now, with the new owner, it seems like the new owner is Hawaii-based and so would also have the same like-minded attitude toward things. Is that the case?
Yes, that's correct, Danielle. You know, it goes back in history with the original owner, Francis E. Brown, who the golf course is named after. And he had a home there at Kalahui Pua, and it was like his Hawaiian retreat. He invited celebrities and stars like Bing Crosby and Bob Hope to his resort. And it was just lava fields, fish ponds, and little little cottages. That was his Hawaiian retreat. It was just a beautiful place. And today, we have the responsibility of maintaining that and sustaining that. We are the stewards of that wonderful place.
Yeah, and you know, it is that feeling when you get to go to Mauna Lani, you get that feeling of being embraced, like enveloped by the feeling of old Hawaii. And I think that's what makes it such a pleasure being there. And then, of course, the golf courses are absolutely spectacular. And there are people who I posted some of the photos that I was given. And one person said, that's my favorite hole. You know, he was like, that's my hole. And for somebody to say that from the mainland or from Europe, that's my hole, that's a huge compliment. When the new owner came in, you decided to cast about and see who to bring in to take care of the golf courses?
That's correct. Diamondhead Land, great owners. They're connected to Hawaii. They've been part of Hawaii for many years. And they have an appreciation for what we have here on the island of Hawaii. And they knew that it was important to find an operator who would do the right thing. And Troon, having a great reputation throughout the world in managing golf courses, they decided to bring Troon on board.
That's great. And Scott Christensen has, speaking of worldwide renown with Troon, he's been stationed all around the world. Scott, what's it like coming to Hawaii and taking care of the Francis E.E. Brown golf courses, the North and South?
It has been absolutely fantastic. You know, we at Troon, we value the history and the traditions of Mauna Lani, as Rodney had just alluded to. And so knowing and learning personally about the legacy of the area and the Brown family and the previous ownership is just an amazing spot. So we are promising to be stewards of that, working with the hotel and resort teams to continue to learn and to carry that forward with new ownership and new visions for the future.
I think because Troon is worldwide and recognizes all the different cultures in which you're operating, that you have an even a more deeper understanding of how important keeping the culture in the course and not trying to cookie cutter everything.
No, that's exactly correct. You know, that luckily I've been very fortunate, and we within Troon have been very fortunate to see so many different places. Now, as you just mentioned, every place is different. We feel that where we go. So, you know, being here and getting to meet the team, and, you know, we must recognize Tom Sersley, who has retired, who was the director of golf here for so many years. He has put together such an incredible team of associates and really set us up for success. So, yes, we do look at every property we're very fortunate to be at and then develop our programs with the on-site teams to move forward for our guest benefit.
It's wonderful. And Tom Sersley just recognized as the Aloha Section PGA Professional of the Year, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a PGA by their section. So it was great. I was at the evening when he got his honor and his award, and he was deeply honored by it. And you know, it's just wonderful to see that. And he's a great guy, just a really great guy. Took care of the courses, loved the courses, obviously, and we heard that when he went. From the hotel's perspective, the courses, of course, draw a lot. But I want to talk a little bit more about the hotel, the Mauna Lani. And what you do for the Hawaii State Open, the fact that you've embraced for the Aloha Section the State Open. Thank you so much, Mr. Ito.
Yeah, it's a great partnership with the Aloha Section, PGA Aloha Section, and we want to continue that. We've had a great relationship over the years. The Hawaii State Open is it's just a wonderful gathering of the local pros and pros from all over the world that come to Hawaii and take advantage of our beautiful golf course and hotel.
It is gorgeous. It's a 341 room oceanfront luxury resort. And it has like the golf courses, of course, a spa, fitness center, all of these things. Are you going to change? I guess, Scott, is there talk of changing any of the grass on the fairways of the greens? What kind of grass is on the course?
We have seashore paspalum, and no, I mean, we have Tim Snelling is our golf course superintendent, and Tim has been here for, I believe, 16 years now. He and his team have done a fantastic job. And as we arrived here recently, just looking at the golf course, talking with his team, one of which has worked here for 33 years, you know, they're invested in Mauna Lani, and talking to our resort guests, our kaimana, our homeowners, our hotel guests from both Mauna Lani Bay and Fairmount, everybody, they can't stop talking about how great this course is and how cool it is to play on a daily basis. And even having the Keiki course, the 9-hole little par 3 course right outside the doors here, which is great for children and adults of all ages to get out, play a quick round, enjoy some short shots, and really, once again, another way to enjoy Mauna Lani.
I didn't know there was a par 3 course.
There is a little, it's the Keiki course, and there is actually a par 4 on it, but it is a very friendly, family oriented course, and it's available each and every day, and hey, I've gone out there and hit a few shots. It's fun to hit those little shots in the green.
Yeah,
it's just the exact same condition that Tim does the same, takes care of the course the same way he takes care of the north and the south.
It's wonderful. And when I was there for the senior skins, I couldn't imagine wanting to change anything because it's
no, absolutely not.
It's beautiful, and it's interesting. Robin Nelson and Raymond Kane designed this course and the north course, the south course and the north course. I'm looking at, you know, when you look at the history, the south course was built on a 16th century Kaniku lava flow. You know, it's, and when you look at how he did it, then they went into the north course, and that's also built on an older flow, Pahoehoe. So it's just and the 230 acres of protected archaeological lies in that district. Mr. Ito, when you talk about tours, do you have tours of the area for non-golfers who'd like to see what's on the course?
Yes, Danielle, we have cultural tours around the fish ponds and the petroglyph fields and throughout the resort. And we also have a little top story program here on the resort every month during the Saturday closest to the full moon. We have something called Twilight. It's really a talk story that's run by Danny Akaka. And
wow.
It's a good event that draws a lot of the people in the community and our visitors to this event.
Wow.
There's also cultural activities at the hotel. The hotel, you know, sits on wonderful, beautiful oceanfront land, and it really draws all the culture and everything together.
Okay, and you know, I was reading this release from Troon, that's now the operator of the golf courses, while feral goats roam the course. Are there a lot of goats hanging out?
We've seen a few out there
on the lava field around the Kohala Coast. The goats live in the lava field, and they wander onto the golf course and the resort for water and some food, but they're a wonderful addition to the Kohala Coast.
Oh, yeah. I'm into wildlife on the course. I think that's one of the most often shared on social media photos of whatever creature that they've captured, you know, like the kangaroos that just ran through the golf course, you know, it's like everybody stand back, you know. So the idea that there are goats roaming around, cropping the grass and providing a unique neutral hazard, as this release says, I thought is absolutely priceless. It's wonderful. It's great talking to you about the Mauna Lani and about the new ownership and knowing that it's a locally based company, Diamond Head Land, that's purchased the golf course and the resort makes me really happy, the Mauna Lani. And is Fairmont part of the whole package there?
So Fairmont is our next door neighbor. They're on the Mauna Lani Resort, and they're great partners to have on the resort. And of course, the both hotels support the golf course.
Excellent. That's fabulous. So we don't usually hear too much about Fairmont, but it's, you know, it brings, just because of its international name, it brings lots of different kind of people who want to come and get away and get that feeling that Francis E.E. Brown created at Mauna Lani when he brought all those wonderful guests over for their retreats, so to speak. So it becomes a natural retreat for all of us here in Hawaii. Staycations are the best thing to do. I just went to Hilo for a few days, and it was fun going up to Mauna Kea and seeing the stars. We don't see that in Honolulu much, you know. We're blinded by the city lights, and so I went up to the top, the 9,500 foot. I didn't go all the way up, but I looked up and I could see all those beautiful stars in the sky. And I think that's what you can see at night, probably on the golf course or during one of the tours you're talking about at Mauna Lani.
It's beautiful. The stars are out. And a quick story, my son, when he was young, took a trip to LA and came back. I said, son, how was your trip? He said, Dad, there are no stars in LA.
No, there aren't. That's what my grandson said to me when he was living in Honolulu after living in the country. Where'd all the stars go? Yes, totally understand. And Scott Christensen, the interim director of golf, will you be staying with us?
We are looking forward to being here and getting us up and expanding our experience here with Troon Golf. And yes, I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, we're very lucky, as I said before, with Troon Golf. Now this makes this iconic property, Mauna Lani, in the 36 holes. That puts 135 holes of golf now in Hawaii for us. So other iconic properties such as Kapalua, Princeville, Makai, King Kamehameha Golf Club, and Kalili Golf Course. So Mauna Lani is obviously iconic. Rodney and his team have been very welcoming to us. We very much appreciate that, and we look forward to very bright future.
Awesome. And one other question, Mr. Ito. I've heard that visitor count is really moving upward on the Big Island, on Hawaii Island, that more and more of the Japanese visitor wants to go to the Big Island, stay there. Is that correct?
We're very fortunate to have year-over-year growth in visitor arrivals, and it really has to do with the lift into the island. Hawaiian Airlines started a direct flight from Haneda Airport into Kona, and September 15, Japan Airlines starts their flight from Narita to Kona direct. And so it's really helping the island's visitor count grow.
Fantastic. A really good talking with you. Thank you for being on the show. Rodney Ito, the general manager of the Mauna Lani on the Big Island on the Kohala Coast. And now Scott Christensen, the interim director of golf at the Francis E.E. Brown Golf Courses at Mauna Lani Resort. Troon Golf now taking care of the golf courses. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thanks a lot. Aloha. We're going to come back, and I can't wait to talk to a wonderful woman who writes for the New York Times. Her name is Karen Krause, and she has a book out now, her first book. It's Norwich. We'll be back with her right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we're heading back to the PGA Championship underway. I'm not sure what channel it's on. It could be on CBS. It was on TNT. Then it moved to the major network for the weekend. So keep an eye out because there's some really exciting golf going on. Karen Krause, golf writer for the New York Times. And her first book is coming out. It ships in January of 2018. You can pre-order now at Amazon. Her book is called Norwich. But first, let's talk a little bit about the PGA Championship. Welcome into the clubhouse, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for that shout out for my book.
Absolutely. I'm really excited because any input about teaching, competitive teaching, is so valuable because I think a lot of us get it completely wrong and scare kids right out of it. You know, it's got to be fun, right? It's got to be fun.
The kids have to be the ones behind the wheel, too. They can't be passengers in the journey. So I think that's the mistake well-meaning parents make, is they steer their kids into interests that they have instead of following letting the kids set the tone for what they want to get involved in. So
Yes, huge. Makes a huge difference. If they, you know, if they want to go into baseball, I know it's scary when they want to go into something like football because of the contact sport aspect of it. Or they want to be a soccer player and you're going, well, golf will be with you for the rest of your life. Well, see if you can get them to play both for a little while and maybe maybe they'll fall in love with it. That's the whole question. I love reading Karen Kraus, the New York Times golf writer, because she always has something. It's on point, of course. It's PGA Championship related in this case. We're talking a little bit about Michael Phelps. Now, understand that Karen was on a swim team in college, but how did Michael Phelps and Jordan Spieth come together? And Michael was following Jordan, right, during one of the rounds.
Right. Well, of course, in the modern day age, it's all about branding, right? So Michael met Jordan in February at the Phoenix Open because they're both Under Armour brand ambassadors. So they arranged, Michael lives in Scottsdale, and so through Under Armour, they arranged that Michael would play in the Pro-Am and he would play with Jordan. That was the first time they had ever met. And they really hit it off and kind of bonded. And not only did they bond, but Michael Greller bonded with Michael and started really picking his brain about how can I motivate Jordan when things are going poorly. And as we saw at the British Open, Michael Greller could not have done a better job of motivating Jordan when things were going poorly on that front nine Sunday. So obviously valuable lessons were learned, but I was walking with Jordan's group on Thursday morning and a little bit bleary-eyed, quite honest, and all of a sudden I hear this voice saying, Karen, are you ignoring me now? And I turned around and it was Michael Phelps. So even though I covered him for over a decade and thought, you know, I'm sure he thought he was rid of me and I was rid of him when he retired after the 16 Olympics, we just keep running into each other. But he's doing really wonderful work in the area of mental health now. As many of your listeners might know, he went to rehab for 8 weeks for an addiction to alcohol and has really come out of it so wonderfully and is now counseling other high-profile athletes as well as children and schools who are dealing with anxiety and bullying issues. I think that his post-swimming life will actually be more, he'll be more influential than he was as an Olympic champion. So it's pretty cool to keep running into him, but he had some interesting insights on Jordan that he was watching him and saying, you know, he's just thinking too much. He's overthinking everything. And I know Jordan's been very disappointed with his putting this week, and I agree with Michael on that. You see him around the greens. He's practicing his putting stroke, and he's poring over his yardage book. And I think he needs to remember is he's the best putter in the world when he's feeling it. And I just think he needs to rely on his feel and not give these greens too much respect. Easier said than done. They are obviously very tricky. But anyway, that's what his observation was. And it was very cool to see him walking inside the ropes with Jordan on Thursday.
When Michael Greller asked Michael Phelps, what do I need to do to get in Jordan's head when he's struggling? Yeah, you know, I was reading your article, and that's, you know, that's so key to so many people. I mean, sports moms and dads, you know, what do you say to your child when they're struggling? You know, how can you help them?
Right.
And I thought it was cool.
And it's super important because I don't mean to interrupt, but, you know, if you say the wrong thing, however well-intentioned, it can have an effect on your child for, you know, years to come. The poorly stated comment, however well-intentioned, can really damage a child's self-esteem or take away from his love of what he or she is doing. So Yeah, it was interesting when Michael Greller asked Michael Phelps that. Michael said, dude, you're the one who spends more time with Jordan than anybody. You know what makes him tick. You know what buttons push. Trust yourself. You know, trust your instincts. Your instincts are sound. I mean, we are talking about a man who was a sixth grade math teacher, so he's dealt with meltdowns of all kinds in the classroom. You know, I'm sure he can read the situation with Jordan in any kind of environment. So I thought that was really good advice that Michael gave Greller. And again, we really saw it play out at the British Open, where on that last day, when he actually said to Jordan early in that final round, remember that picture you took in Cabo with Michael Jordan and Michael Phelps? You belong in that picture. You belong with those all-time greats. So remember that. You know, remember, he was telling him in so many ways, remember who you are. You've got this, you know. And that was the right thing to say at that moment, obviously.
It was perfect. I also like in your article you wrote that Greller said, it was so, let's get three looks at birdie and see what happens. Yeah. You know,
right.
I
mean, right. This was a day in which they had started on the back nine. And of course, 16, 17, and 18 are beasts of a finishing stretch. But they were playing 7, 8, 9 last. And 7 is considered one of the more gettable holes out here. And so I think that's what Michael, again, is trying to reframe Jordan's thoughts and maybe channel the thinking into a more positive place. So he's saying, let's just try to get birdie looks on these last three holes and let your putter fall where it may. And he birdied two of the last three holes, which at the time was huge because it kept him within 5 shots of what was then the lead. Now he's struggling a little bit more on the greens today, and it appears, you know, this is not going to be his week, but hey, at least he's playing the weekend, which is more than we can say for some people that were expected to contend here.
Exactly.
Like Justin Rose or
yes.
And company.
Yes, exactly. Watching all of this play out, you know, I sometimes think that the expectations that are put on the shoulders of Jordan Spieth, although such an incredibly talented person, you know, you come into the day, part of the beauty of being alive is not necessarily knowing what's going to happen that day, but having all the hope and desire that comes. You don't need anybody adding, you know, like, you better do it, you got to do it, you got to be the youngest, you got to be the youngest, you know, career grand slam,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of takes some of the joy of the life,
right,
of the day out of your, you know, like, wait a minute,
I agree.
Get off my
I
back.
Yeah, and we've seen that played out with Rory in the Masters. He has played the Masters the last 3 years looking like this is the week to be endured rather than enjoyed. And it's because he's battled with the expectations of he's that win away from his career Grand Slam. The challenge for these guys is to stay in the process when you are surrounded by people who judge you and herald you based on your results. And I think Jordan is usually pretty good at that. And who's to say that it was the pressure or the expectations that got to him this week? It could be just that he's a little mentally weary.
Mm-hmm.
That would be understandable too.
Yes.
But, you know, he won the Travelers in dramatic fashion, had a short break, won the British Open in dramatic fashion, had a short break, and then is right back at it at the World Golf Championships event, and then here. So it's really a long year for these guys. I wrote about that earlier in the week and had a lot of readers that, you know, taking out their tiny toy violins for these players. But it it's a really mentally taxing sport. It's physically taxing. They're traveling all over the world. It wears you out. You know, I think a lot of these guys are as worn out mentally as physically at this point.
Let me ask you this. With the PGA Championship being played in May, starting in 2019, and then every year after that, that's a new calendar. The Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, the Open in July, then the FedEx Cup, the champion, right? And then every 4 years, the Olympics.
Right.
Do you think that possibly one tier of the PGA Tour players might then actually take a break, an off season, as it were? As
no.
No.
No. They're all crying out for an off season. So I surveyed all the top players in the top 10 anyway, and a few outside of it. Not one said they don't want an off season. They would love for the tours to go dark, as happens in the NFL, Champions League, give fans a chance to miss the sport and give these players a chance to rejuvenate, you know, to recharge, to retool their games, to rest their injuries, get mentally fresh. And of course, people say, well, they're all independent contractors. They can take October, November, December off if they want. It's not that simple, because the next season starts the week after the President's Cup this year. There is not even a week break. So you go right into the next season where FedEx Cup points are being collected and accrued. If any of these players take a proper break, they're going to be behind the eight ball in the FedEx Cup standings, which, of course, to a large extent, determines how you get in, whether you get into events, money lists, championships, etc. So it's really disingenuous of the people in charge of the tour to say, well, these people are independent contractors. They can take off whenever they want. No, they can't, because the game is rigged for those who play a complete schedule, which, of course, benefits the PGA Tour because they want their top players in as many events as possible. So I really think they need to go to just have no tournaments anywhere for a good month, if not more, to save these players from themselves, because the competitors in them are really reluctant to take time off when they see other players playing and accruing these points.
Interesting.
And just to, you know, again, I think it would help the fans. If you didn't see golf between October and December, it surely would help all the stops in Hawaii. People would be so excited. Oh, I can't wait to see Rory and George go head-to-head again. Wow, what's going to happen? Yeah. Who's going to emerge?
Well,
we're talking about NFL right now.
It happened in the not so distant past when we had an off season. It was called the silly season, and there were all these silly season events. And if you felt like going out and playing around, you could do that. You know, if I'm talking about the contenders, you know, if they wanted to go out and be in a silly season, they could just take a vacation. Which you know, seems like we're all not taking vacations,
right? So, right. Imagine if you're Brandon Grace and you're playing three tours effectively, because you're trying to support the South African tour. You're also playing the European tour, and you're playing the PGA tour. Or Rory McIlroy playing the European tour and the PGA tour. There's really no off season.
No.
And so I actually took the PGA tour suit to task this week, because while they're patting themselves on the back for this great scheduling coup of getting all of these big events lined up in a row, my bigger point is, okay, that helps you and the schedule and the corporate sponsors, but how much is it really helping the players in the long run, as long as there is no break at all between one season to the next?
And if you want to have these great players, the Rory, the Dustins, the Jordans, the Jasons, to be the hot players that you want them to be, you got to give them a little time off. Otherwise,
I agree,
they'll break and take their own time off. You know, then.
Well,
and then,
we've seen that with Jason and Rory.
Exactly,
both have battled injuries this year, and it's not hard to understand why they're having a hard time staying healthy.
Well, in the last 2 minutes of our show here, and so you'll have to be on again soon. This is Karen Krause, golf writer for the New York Times. Her book is coming out. It's going to ship in January of 2018, which is around the corner. You can pre-order at Amazon, other places too. But this book is about a small Vermont town's secret to raising Olympians who are happy, healthy, productive people and performers. It's based on what's happening, really, and has been happening in a small town in Vermont. This is real life, okay? Norwich is the name of the town. 3,000 residents that has sent an athlete to almost every Winter Olympics for the past 30 years. And Karen Krause moved to Vermont to discover what the secret is. And I don't think I should ask you what the secret is, since we'll want to read your book.
Well, I can just tell you it's the antithesis of the tiger mom parenting, you know, this helicopter hovering parenting that is all in vogue now. If for parents out there who want to raise their children in a more sane manner but are afraid of getting off this treadmill because they're worried they're hurting their child by they're not going to be able to keep up with the children who are being raised by these really involved parents, this book is giving you permission to take a deep breath, step back, and let your children be children and have childhood, and everything can still work out beautifully.
I love it. I'm looking forward to reading it. Some people say they are. Is there a place where you can get a pre-order book?
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of independent bookstores, so I would advise anyone to call their favorite bookstore and ask if they can pre-order it for them. But in a pinch, there's always good old Amazon.com.
Everything now.
Yes.
Karen Krause, golf writer for the New York Times. Thank you so much for being patient and getting in. I don't know what happened in the beginning.
That's all right. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Danielle.
Thank you. And we'll Bye-bye. Talk soon, okay?
Bye-bye.
I want to just congratulate the PGA of America and Top Golf for partnering, getting together to advance career opportunities in golf and growing the interest in the game. We'll be talking with Top Golf next weekend. Of course, you may have heard, and we've been talking about this for a while, that Top Golf has some interest in opening a location Waikiki, and it'd be a whole lot of fun. And there's some concerns that local people have about the price and would it price people out of paradise, and we always worry about that because we all feel the pinch of the economy. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more next weekend. I want to thank all the people who make this show possible. First off, Rainer Doors. Rainer Doors is an overhead door, and it's used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. So it's an electric door. It closes up. It's tight. It's secure. It provides lasting security and safety for your business, for your home, for the value of your home. Did you know the painting it is the one thing that'll really enhance the value of your home? But the second thing, the best thing that you can do is put a Rainer garage door on your home. So get in touch with Rainer Doors. Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, showroom, home project into artwork, and they are so much more than that. We're going to hear a lot more. There's a lot in store. Futura Stone, only the best. Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, celebrating the PGAs around the United States, around the world. I still think the PGA of America should have a PGA championship that gets played somewhere else, because like in another country, there are PGAs around the world. Claude Brousseau is a two-time section PGA Teacher of the Year. He's at the Kahili Course, the Maui School of Golf. Creative plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, a renovation, or a repair, you call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. That would be Creative Plumbing. If you'd like to hear the show, just go to radiogolfclub.com. All of the shows are archived there. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.